Would you please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4? And as you're turning there, I want to share with you one other announcement that I neglected to put in the bulletin, and that is that this morning after church we have blood pressure screenings. Jody Eby will be in the back room to the right. Anybody that wants to have their blood pressure checked, she will be back there to accommodate you in that. So anytime after the service, we can do that. Thank you. Well, would you join me as we just invite the Lord to do a work as we open His Word together. Our Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus, asking today that You will instruct our minds in the truth, that You will inspire our hearts with the truth, that You will impact our lives in accord with the truth, that You will influence the community we live in as the truth works in and through us. The Spirit of God move among us. Renew our minds and transform our lives through this book that has been inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that we, men and women of God, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. For Christ's sake, and in His name we pray. Amen. Well, if you're like me, you've had a little bit of a difficult time this spring finding time to do it and good weather at the same time, right? To do some work around the house. And so this weekend provided that for us at our house. And so we found ourselves Friday afternoon, evening, Saturday morning, power washing the house, mulching, a couple truckloads of mulch, and doing all these things, trimming bushes and taking that to where it needs to go and doing all that stuff. And so at the end of the day yesterday, I was so excited to be able to go in and take off these dirty, smelly, stinky, sweaty stuff and get a shower, right? Clean up, wash myself. And then I come out of the shower, I'm smelling really good now and I'm feeling refreshed. And then I put on my dirty, smelly clothes again. Right? No, nobody would do that. Why in the world would anybody think to do that, right? That would be ridiculous. And yet, this is kind of the imagery that Paul brings out in Ephesians 4 here. When it comes to our spiritual lives, we in our sin and in our iniquity and all the junk of our fleshly nature, we are stinky, smelly, rotting, and then we come to Christ. And through Christ, He washes us clean, right? Of all of that stuff, our sins have been forgiven and we're washed. We're new creatures in Christ. And then when we go back and do the things of the old self, the old life, in essence, we're putting on that old, stinky, smelly clothes again after having been clean. We understand in our head how ridiculous that is, and yet we do this kind of thing. And the Apostle Paul is using that imagery to communicate to the Ephesian believers, who most likely are fairly new in their faith, to say, do not continue walking like you used to walk, like they walk. That's not how it is for us in Christ. And then he gives some practical understanding of this process of moving from that kind of behavior, that kind of lifestyle, to now, because we're in Christ, living differently. And he talks about how it starts with a renewal of the mind. So we're going to take a look at this, verses 17 to 24 today, and then we're going to pick up the last part of the chapter next week as he gives some practical understanding of what this looks like. But this morning, I want us to get a real good picture of what characterizes this old life, what characterizes the mindset and the actions of the worldly perspective, and then how we're to be different from that. So would you follow along with me as I read from Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. This I say therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you've heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, then in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. This I say, he says, and affirm together with the Lord, that you stop walking like the Gentiles. The word Gentiles here is the word ethne, and it means nations, people groups, every tongue, language. It is talking about the people of the world who do not have Christ. It's the same word that Jesus uses in Matthew 28, 19, when he says, go therefore and make disciples of the ethne, of the nations, of all the peoples who don't know him, who aren't yet disciples of his. Go and make disciples of them. And that is our call, to go out into this world where we are. Some people go across the ocean to another culture, another land, another people group. Many of us are called to go across the street to our neighbor, to speak and to build relationship with our coworkers, so that we earn the right and the opportunity to speak Christ into their life, to live Christ before them, and to help them walk on this journey of coming to know Christ and being built up in Christ, so that they too can do the same thing. This is discipleship. Jesus calls us to make disciples of the ethne. And Paul says here, don't walk like them. Don't live like them. Reach them, but don't be like them. And then he gives us a description. So we see that we are to stop walking like a person of the world. And here he gives a description of what the mindset of the world is, as well as the spiritual condition of the world and the practice of the world. So first of all, what is the mindset of the world? He says they walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding. This is the mindset. Futility is a word that means in vain, aimless, purposeless, resultless. And even sometimes in the Scriptures used to portray idolatry. And certainly that was true in the first century, that the Gentiles were going after idols. They were worshiping idols. They were sacrificing to idols. They thought that those idols were giving them something and doing something for them. It says this was the futility of their mind because it was aimless, resultless, in vain. In fact, Paul uses this word in Romans 8 when he talks about how the world, how the creation groans because it's been subjected to futility, he says. And he says this, the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of Him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom, the glory of the children of God. So creation, along with all of us as believers, are groaning for the day in which we'll be set free from the futility of this stuff. Why? Because this world and everything in this world that is for itself will end. It will not have an ultimate eternal purpose. He says this is the mindset of worldly thinking. It's futile. It has no real, ultimate, lasting, eternal end except destruction. And the mind that word that's used here for mind is not merely an intellectual faculty or understanding, but also the faculty of recognizing moral good and spiritual truth. And he says there is nothing there. And they're darkened in their understanding. This means there's a blinding of the mind. And you know, when I read this, I can't help but think about Paul's letter to the Romans in Romans 1, where he gives an even fuller description of this mentality, when he talks about how the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And he talks about how God has given this internal witness, the conscience, He's given to every person gives them an awareness that there's somebody out there, something out there bigger than me. And then the external witness of creation talks about God's invisible attributes that have been seen from the very beginning, and people who will recognize that, even in the furthest, farthest, darkest places in all the world, can see in creation there's somebody, something is responsible for this. And they have a God consciousness that God put inside. And God says, that is enough to hold people responsible, to respond to God. There's not enough to be saved there. They got to know about Jesus. That's why we send missionaries to go and tell them. But here's what Paul says then. Even though they knew God, that is, they had enough understanding to know there is a God, says they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. He's saying the same thing here. Right? He says, people, believers, don't walk like them because they're futile in their mindset. They're darkened in their understanding. They're professing to be wise. They think they got it all under control, but they don't know anything when it comes to this stuff. That's the mindset of the world. And they don't know it, but we see it. We know it because we have the revelation of God's Word. That doesn't mean that they're dumb, that they can't think intellectually, they can't. No, there is a lot of that going on. Spiritually speaking, the mindset is futile and darkened. And then he talks about the spiritual condition of the world. They're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them and the hardness of their heart. They're shut off from fellowship and intimacy with God. Because of the ignorance, a lack of understanding of divine things, that word means. They don't know. They don't know. James Boyce, in his commentary on the book of Ephesians, says, the Greeks were the greatest thinkers of the ancient world. I mean, intellectual. The Romans learned from them. And of course, that's the time in which Paul wrote, when the Romans were in charge. It says, nevertheless, most of the ancients were either polytheists who believed in many gods, or pantheists who believed that God was in everything, or they were atheists who believed there was no God at all. That was the conclusions they came to. The greatest minds of the ancient world, the greatest thinkers, they concluded that there's either many gods, or God is in everything, or there is no such thing as God. Edward Gibbon, writing of the Roman period, says that the philosophers of that day regarded all religions as equally true. I'm sorry, as equally false. So the philosophers, the great thinkers of that day, of Paul's day, regarded all religions as equally false. Nothing is right. The common people regarded all religions as equally true. Right? They just embraced whatever you believe is good, whatever I believe is good, whatever they believe is good. It's all true. And it says, and then he says, and the rulers regarded all religions as equally useful. As long as the rulers could manage the people and what they believed, then it was useful for them. Then he goes on to say this, it is no different today. We live in an age which prides itself on intellectual attainment, just as the Greeks did, but it lacks true spiritual understanding. People protest this conclusion, but this is the way the world is as God sees it. This is the spiritual condition. They're excluded from the life of God. Because there is ignorance. And not ignorance in the sense of, oh, they're just ignorant people. No, they don't know. They don't have spiritual enlightenment. Therefore, they operate based on what they think, right? Their speculations, as Paul says in Romans 1. They're professing to be wise, but they are fools, spiritually speaking. And also because of the hardness of the heart. Heart is hard before God. F.F. Bruce says the hardening of the hearts is the progressive inability of conscience to convict them of wrongdoing. Conscience, as Paul has said in Romans 2:15, serves as a witness to the law of God implanted within, but habitually ignoring of the warning signals of it sends out, incapacitates that heart from fulfilling its proper function. Such a conscience is then seared and unable to see the truth. So this is a progressive thing that happens in the mind and the heart of the unbelieving world. What is the result? Well, the practice of this is, and having become callous, verse 19, right? The word callous is hardened. Right? You get a callus on your hand, its skin hardens up, and it has no feeling there. And that's a good thing when you're working with your hands and you get these blisters and then you develop calluses and then you're able to keep doing that because that you don't feel it anymore there. And he says of them, and they have become callous, unfeeling, insensitive to the things of God. And so they've given themselves over to sensuality, which means excessive pleasure, absence of restraint, insatiable desire for pleasure. Bruce goes on to say about this word, sensuality. He says, it is a vice that throws off all restraint and flaunts itself, unaware or unawed by shame or fear, without regard for self-respect, for the rights and feelings of others, or for public decency. And impurity is moral uncleanness in the widest possible sense. The greediness is a covetousness. I have to have more. You put all that together, and guess what? Paul could have wrote this today. We see this. Just look around at what's going on. The futility and the darkness of understanding. I think they got it all under control and they haven't a clue when it comes to spiritual things because they're excluded from any kind of connection with God. Because of that ignorance, because of the hardness of that heart that keeps getting harder and harder and harder the further it goes. They're callous, incapable of seeing, feeling, understanding. And so they're going after sensuality to excessive degrees. And that description is just, when I think about our world today, I think about this flaunting, unawed by shame and fear, without regard for self-respect, for the rights and feelings of others, or for public decency. I mean, this is blatant in our culture. You know, there are some things that the Bible tells us that we look and say, okay, I cannot, because things happened way back then, 2,000 years ago, I cannot verify the authenticity of some things that are claimed as fact. I have to believe it. Now, there is evidence. You go back and you see, historically, you can see evidence, but we can't see it with our own eyes. And then there are things like this, that Paul's description, I mean, we see this clearly, clearly. This is the reality of the mindset, the spiritual condition, and the practice of the world in which we live. What we cannot see is how that influence out there has affected this right here and this right here in our own heart. Oh, it's easy to look and say, look at all that. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they're thinking. Look at all that out there. Man, I can see it. What I can't see is how all that out there has gotten in here and in here. That's why we need the Word of truth, the Word of God. That's why we as believers need to be saturating our minds with the truth. We need to be in the truth. We need to be under the truth. What I mean by that is, we need, as individuals, we have a responsibility to be in the Word of God for ourselves, reading it, studying it, understanding it, applying it, meditating upon it. I believe that we need to memorize Scripture, not for the sake of saying, well, I got 200 verses memorized, right? So that when I am processing the memorization of God's Word, it's getting into my heart, and I'm pondering the reality of what does this mean for my life. Oh, so stop walking like that, because this is the mindset of that thinking. It's not your mindset. This is the spiritual condition of that. That's not your spiritual condition. This is the actions. It's not you. Shouldn't be. He says, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed. And Paul's operating under the assumption that they have indeed heard Christ and have been taught in Christ, because truth is in Jesus. He's operating out of that assumption, so he's kind of exaggerating here. And sometimes we can make that assumption. I can make that assumption that everybody sitting in these pews has a biblical mindset, knows Christ, and has an understanding of this, but that may not be true. And certainly, with technology today and how we put the messages out on social media and places where people can access that, I don't know who's listening to this. Even beyond these four walls. So here's the reality. We've got to start walking like a person of the Word. And we will never do that unless, first of all, we know Christ. We've learned Christ. We've heard Christ. We've been taught in Christ, because truth is in Jesus. It is about Jesus. Romans 10:14 tells us, how are they going to call upon Him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe on Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher, without a proclaimer of truth? That's your job and my job, to proclaim Jesus in our living, in our speaking, in our relationships, to make Jesus known. They will not believe if they do not hear. And that's why Paul says, have you not heard Him and been taught in Him? Because truth, this truth is in Jesus. We must know Him if we're going to walk in the like a person of the Word. Christianity is based in truth. The truth about who Christ is. The truth about what He did on our behalf. Truth is, He is God incarnate. He is God in the flesh as He walked this earth. He wasn't just a moral teacher. He wasn't just a good philosopher, a great teacher. He is the Son of God. He is God in flesh. 100% God, 100% man. This is the teaching of Scripture. And He went to the cross and He took our sin upon Himself and He died in our place. So that His death could take our sins and pay for them. Because the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And we're all sinners. And so the Scripture says that God the Father took Jesus the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus took our sin upon Himself and He paid it on the cross. And then He died. And guess what? He rose again the third day, proving that He had gained victory over sin, over death. And God the Father raised Him and has accepted His sacrifice on our behalf. And He is at the right hand of God the Father right now, praying for us. That's the truth. We need to know that so that we can then believe that. Believe in that. And that means to put our trust in that. If that is not true, we have no hope. And we're just like the world. We might as well just go about doing whatever we want to do, whatever we think is right. Doesn't matter who it hurts. Doesn't matter what it does to anybody else. Just live up your life the best you can, because when it's all over, it's over. Unless this is truth. And if this is true, then we've got all the beyond the grave to look forward to. That's our hope. And that's what we're living for beyond the grave. And so we live our lives here in this place for the glory of Christ, because Christ is our hope. And we then want to share that with other people, because when they get to the end of their life, what they have to look forward to is hell and nothing more. And we don't want that for them. So we've got to understand this for ourselves, and we've got to proclaim Jesus. James Montgomery Boyce said this, because this truth is in Jesus, it's all about Jesus. He said, Jesus is the school. He is also the teacher, and He's also the subject of instruction. Right? We're in the school of Jesus, and Jesus is our teacher in the school of Jesus, and Jesus is the subject that Jesus teaches in the school of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And if we don't get Him right, we get it all wrong. You did not learn Christ in this way, if you've you've heard Him and been taught in Him, because truth is in Jesus. So it starts there. You must know Him first. Secondly, He says you must put off the old self. This is the process. And folks, this is hard work. Salvation is by grace, as Jay already told us this morning. It is by grace. It is God's work on our behalf. We believe it. We trust in that reality and who Jesus is and what He did. Salvation is that free gift. But walking with Him is hard work. We've got to intentionally put off the old, because our default mode is to go back to the old, put on those old stinky clothing again, because it's comfortable. Right? It's what we know. This is in reference to your former manner of life, verse 22, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Not long before Paul writes this, they were those pagans. They were those people of the world. But now they've come to know Christ. And he says, lay that old self aside. That old self is being corrupted. That's a present tense. There's ongoing, continual corruption is happening all the time in that world. In fact, Kenneth Wiest, in his Greek word studies in the Greek New Testament, says it speaks of the progressive condition of corruption which characterized the old man. The unsaved person is thus subject to a continuous process of corruption, which grows worse and worse as time goes on. It doesn't get any better. Our job is not to reform the old self. It is to put it to death and to live in the new self, because we're new creatures in Christ. Put off the old, like putting off old garments. That's what this word means literally. To lay off the old clothing. to renounce it. It's no longer part of who I am. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. And so we must put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. This new self is in the likeness of God. Right? Our sanctification process is about becoming more like God, more like Jesus in life. And here's how it happens. The renewing of the mind. This renewing is, again, continuous. That's present tense. That you are being renewed in the spirit of your mind over and over and over again. This is the key to our growing up in Christ. Romans 12:2, Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. Right? Same thing he's saying here. Don't be like this world. But instead, what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. That word prove means to approve. It means show by your life the will of God, that which is good, perfect, and acceptable. A companion letter to the book of Ephesians, Paul wrote Colossians. He wrote at the same time, in the same circumstances, and talked about many of the same things. And he talks about this putting off the old, putting on the new. And he says, and you've put on the new self who is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. It's knowledge. It's truth. So it works like this. Again, we can look very clearly and see how the world is messed up and how it just follows along with this description so perfectly. But we don't know how much of that has gotten in here. And I believe, personally believe, that every one of us, no matter how long you've walked with the Lord, whatever, we are walking around still believing lies that we have either been taught growing up, or we caught it somehow, or just started thinking it because of circumstances we're in. And even if you grew up in the church and you went to Sunday school, that doesn't guarantee that everything you were taught, even in the church in Sunday school, was correct to the Word of God. We believe many things. And so we're walking around with these truth claims in our heads, some of which do not even line up with the Word of God. But if we don't know what the Word of God says, we believe them. So we have got to be in the Word, letting the Word of truth continue to inform us so that it then helps our minds to think properly in accord with the truth. And here's how the brain works. The brain is continually changing. They used to think that the brain was what it was, but now they understand through science that the brain continues to change the day you die. And how does it change? The more information you put in. And these little connections are fired, these synapses fire. When you are putting information in your brain, new pathways are forming and they're strengthening as you're reinforcing that truth in your brain. And the things that you used to believe that are no longer things you believe or think begin to dry up in your brain and they stop being what you think. So we have got to continue to renew our minds with the truth of God's Word, putting it in there, pondering it, meditating on it, going over it in our head over and over again so that we develop these new pathways that teach us the truth of God's Word. That truth in our head will then translate into our heart and it will then transform our life and we will live a different life. That's the Christian life. It's not about just, well, I got to make sure I behave properly so that I show Jesus to people, when in reality, Jesus hasn't changed us, because that's only going to happen for only a short period of time, and when circumstances get really hard, really difficult, we're going to either chuck it off, or we're going to act what's really in our heart, because Jesus said, out of the heart flow the springs of life. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart comes murders, adulteries, fornication, thievery, all those things come out of the heart. What I believe in my heart is what's going to come out in my life. So what I believe in my head translates into my heart, which then comes out in my life. So we've got to renew the mind with the truth of God's Word. If not, We're resigned to just be professing wise, but actually foolish. We're no different than the world. We must do the hard work of renewing the mind. Because here's the bottom line. How you think determines how you walk. How we think about God, about ourselves, about other people, about Christians, about the Bible, about the world, about relationships, how we think about all these things will determine how we walk it out in life. So we've got to think properly. So we then are transformed to live properly. Somebody once said, I think a very profound statement, you are not what you think you are. You are what you think. So what do you think? And is your thinking being changed in accord with the truth? Or you think what you think because you're at the stage in your life now where you say, well, I've learned everything I'm going to learn, so I'm just going to operate based on what I think. And guess what? You're resigned to continue in that same life the rest of your life. And guess what? It may not be correct. Right? What's the definition of insanity? Keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. If you keep living as if you're the way you're already thinking, and you think that it's going to change over time, it's not going to change because that's insanity. No, you've got to change your mind so that then it will change the actions. You know what the proverb says about a fool? A fool is not interested in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. And I'm telling you, I've been walked with the Lord long enough, and I've been around the church long enough, believers by and large. This is the reality of so many people that sit in church week after week after week. They're not interested in learning more. They're not interested in understanding what God's Word says. They know enough now. They're only interested in revealing what is in their own mind. And so they have arguments with people constantly and try and convince them, and it doesn't work. And the church is drying up because it's not feeding on the Word of God. And the world is going to hell in a handbasket because the truth is not going out. Because people are just satisfied to know what they know and not grow. It's time that we wake up and we start realizing God has called us to be renewing ourselves in the Word of God, to be feeding on the truth. We've got time for everything else in this life. We have time to be on our phones constantly, to be watching movies and television, to be doing all the things we want to do. But we don't seem to ever have time to be in God's Word and in prayer. Because it's hard work. It's time that we take ownership and say, I'm responsible to grow up in Jesus. And if I got to find somebody to help me walk this journey, man, I got to do that. Because this is what the church is here for, to be there for each other. And so, I want to challenge you to take seriously God's call. Stop walking like this world. And you say, well, you may think that you're not walking like this world, but that's because we're all blinded to our own blind spots. We can't see. And if we're in the Word of God and we're asking the Lord continually, God, show me. What am I thinking that isn't correct? Teach me the truth. Renew my mind so I think differently. And that's why it's important, again, to be in the Word ourselves, but also to be under the Word, because we can deceive ourselves. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And so we can read the Bible and we can dismiss things that challenge us and say, well, that doesn't really mean that. Well, that's not really saying that to me. But see, somebody else that is teaching the Word doesn't have that same filter that you do. And so they're not careful of the things that are issues for you. And so they will just tell you what the Word says. So we all need to be under the hearing of God's Word being taught by someone else as well as in the Word ourselves so that we can have the truth grow us up in Christ. How you think determines how you walk and how you live your life. Oh, Father, I find myself as I study this week just amazed as I dug into what the words that are used here to describe the mentality of the world. and the practice of the world. I'm just amazed. I just look around and see it everywhere. And yet, Lord, I must confess to you that I don't know how this world, this culture that I live in has invaded my mind. How it has informed the way I think about you, about people, about myself. None of us understand that completely. And so, God, we ask for you, we beg of you, that you will use your truth, your word, by your Holy Spirit to keep moving among us, to keep renewing our thinking, so that we might keep changing in more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So that the things that come out of our heart are not murder, adultery, fornication, slander, but it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, as He takes charge of our lives. So God, renew us day by day. It's a process, Father. We acknowledge it's a process. We're not going to change overnight our thinking, but it's a process. May we have the patience and the courage and the fortitude to step into it and walk this journey. For your glory, Lord. For the good of your church. For the expanding of your kingdom. For the accomplishing of your will. We ask these things in Jesus' name.